presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with bluegrass guitarists John Stickley and Larry Keel. The conversation starts with John Stickley, who joins us from Asheville, North Carolina, and then Larry Keel joins us from Virginia after just a couple minutes. John talks about how he makes time for guitar, being a young dad, and he gives us a brief history of his musical background. Larry joins the conversation and tells us how the two met jamming in a kitchen. And Larry tells us about living and growing up in Virginia in a musical family. The two discuss their collaboration that's become an EP and why it's not a full album at this time, and how the two are going to make time from their own personal bands to tour together. The two describe their influences, Tony Rice. The two talk about their musical education and the guitars they're playing, Larry an Andrew White guitar, and John a Preston Thompson guitar, then the compromise they make using onboard electronics and the effects they use in their signal chain. The two discuss the camaraderie of the bluegrass culture and the logistics of their tour, and finally the two describe their passions outside of music. To find out more about John Stickley, you can go to his website, johnstickley.com. That's johnstickley.com. And for more information about Larry Keel, you can go to his website, larrykeel.com. That's LarryKeel.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine for all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my friends, John and Larry.
Dude, thanks for having us, man. This is awesome.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Yes, of course. Of course. Where are you at?
I'm in Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay. And what's that thing hanging from your ceiling right there?
Dude, I was actually going to reposition the camera. That is a child's sensory swing.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. My kids are 2 and 4, so okay. I'm just kind of in that world right now.
Yes, you are.
Yep.
How do you find time to like play guitar and stuff with young children?
It's a challenge.
Yes, it is.
But, squeeze it in where I can. And every minute I get with it means, a lot more than it used to.
Sure.
And,
A lot of playing for kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. I figured that out because it was the working my 2-year-old's name into the songs was the only way he would let me play the guitar.
That's great. That's perfect.
Compromise. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Have you always lived in North Carolina?
Yeah, I'm from Durham originally.
Okay.
And went to NC State for college for Parks and Rec.
Okay.
And played in bluegrass bands during college, and then just joined a band in Colorado when I graduated.
Okay.
So I was in North Carolina until 2005, and then just was in Colorado for 2 years before moving back to Asheville, where I've been since 2006.
Okay. All right.
And I'm here for good.
Yeah. And your day job, is it in Parks and Rec, or is it playing guitar?
It's playing guitar.
Okay.
Yep. So I've been, solely a musician ever since.
Okay.
College. So.
Uh-huh. Right on. Very good. And in high school, were you playing in bands and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Starting in middle school, in Durham, we lived, we would go to Chapel Hill and see the indie rock bands in the 90s. Like Superchunk and Archers of Loaf and all these really pivotal, like very important bands to me to this day.
Sure.
So we were like a wannabe of like Chapel Hill indie rock, math rock, and
great.
I'll have you guys both introduce yourselves, just because that way people will be able to recognize the voices. And if you don't mind,
I'm Larry Keel.
Okay.
Very good. I'm John Stickley.
Yep. Very good. Excellent. And how did you two meet?
Well, I have trouble trying to remember the exact place we did, but I know that we always seem to meet up like out in the festival, playing music at night, or we've done a lot of shows together as John's band and my band, but yeah, I mean, we've known each other so long, it's hard for me. What do you think, John? You know the exact place?
I do have a specific memory of something that could have been the first, but I don't know if I'm right. Was at a party after a show that you played in Chapel Hill, and we ended up jamming and hanging in a kitchen, you know, for a long time, and I think that was at least the first time we, you know, had a conversation about anything, music and stuff. So,
yeah,
it's a good memory.
Oh yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, probably circa maybe like 2002 or 2003.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got John's history as far as living in North Carolina. How about you, Larry? Have you always lived in North Carolina?
I live in Virginia, actually, and yeah, I've sort of been there, you know, all my life, and grew up around a lot of music up here, a lot of bluegrass music, and all kinds of styles of music. But my father played music, and my brother, and I was just always around a lot of good musicians, and.
Sure.
And was encouraged to come and at a young age and play spoons or, you know, that type of thing. But just picked up songs as I went along in that type of environment. It was wonderful.
Yeah. What made you guys decide to do this collaboration?
Well, you know, John and I have played so much that it's sort of something that needed to come to fruition for both of us, I feel. And we talked about it last year, and like we really should sit down and try to record something and do something that we want to do and put something out. And it's just it's been better than I would have ever thought it was. Again, with John's magic and innovation and just true genius, really.
Very good. Very, very, very good. And why just an EP? Why not a full album?
Well, John and I both really wanted to put the whole thing out. But with his touring schedule and mine, we recorded it last winter when you know, touring sort of slacks up a little bit, and sure, we could concentrate on it and get things we wanted. But as 2025 started clicking along, he got busy, I got busy, and I'm pretty sure that we can get part duh out of this and have another one.
Very yeah, good. Yeah.
Are you guys planning on touring together?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got a tour. We're starting this weekend, a string of 5 dates.
Oh, right on.
That I'm extremely excited about.
Me too.
And are those the dates? Are those the dates that are listed on John's calendar, or is it?
Yeah, I think they're on my website, but they're definitely in some recent posts on all our socials.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. And on mine too. And like, it's all out there as far as many social things as it can get on, you know.
and as far as influences, I mean, there's your two separate guitarists, of course, but influences on your bluegrass, you know, your bluegrass styles. I know Norman Blake's going to come up, but are there other people, Brian Sutton or anything like that?
Yeah, for me, I know it's Tony Rice for sure, because I was fortunate enough to get to do some shows with him, and at his later chapter in life, sure, and he joined my band for like, I don't know, 12, 14, 15 shows.
Wow.
And got to just really get to know him and have that just sort of rub off on me, hopefully. Sure. Yeah. And
what was he driving?
He was driving, at first he was driving the Mustang.
Okay.
And then he got some kind of hot rod, like a blue truck. I don't know if it was a Chevy. It might have been a Chevy.
Okay.
I think it was maybe the F-150 Lightning.
That's what it was, because it was a hot rod. You know? Yeah, even for a truck, you know, it's like, hey, here comes Tony, yeah.
And how early did he show up to the show?
you know this guy, don't you? Yeah, well, you know, 10 or 15 minutes beforehand.
Oh, well, he showed up before.
And then go, when do we start? Oh, 10 minutes. Okay, I'm going to have a cigarette. I'll be right back.
Very good. And John, for you?
Number one would be Tony Rice as well, for sure. I never got to play with him or meet him, but I would say, you know, number one guitarist, musician, but then so many others. Larry's a big one for me. So, right, you know, getting ready to having the opportunity to make music and create with someone who had such a big influence on your own personal style is really super cool, full circle feeling.
Uh-huh. Right on.
Stays back.
And early on, I mean, we talked about some of your influences in North Carolina there, John. But Larry, how about you? Early influences, apart from bluegrass, were you playing rock music at all, or were you playing blues or anything like that?
Yeah, as a first aid, I started out playing bluegrass till, you know, I was probably 16, 17, and of course, would go over to a friend's house and everybody would be hanging out, and someone would have an electric guitar with an amp and some effects on it. It's like, oh, cool, you know. Oh, I can turn it up. All right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never really went to electric at that point. But as far as influences from that, I mean, your common ones like Jimi Hendrix and...
Oh, sure.
And Jerry Garcia, and starting with all that sort of thing, you know, and delving off into other realms of things.
And is it both of you that are playing those fluid lines? For lack of a better term, that, you know, they're running up and down the scale. Is that both of you guys doing that, or is it one of you?
Yeah, when we're at a certain point when the two guitars are playing, yeah, that's both of us.
Okay,
doing
right
this.
On, right on.
It's cool.
Yeah, and so I better ask: did you guys, are either one of you, study music in college or anything like that?
John,
I didn't study it in college, but I grew up in church, learning about music and stuff, and then took like piano lessons and guitar lessons as a kid.
Sure.
So got a nice like little foundation. I had a really good guitar teacher in high school, just after school, and kind of gave me a nice foundation of like figuring out how to learn music, you know, and I just kind of went in my own directions after that.
How about you, Larry?
I don't read music. I still don't.
Yeah.
And I just play from the head and the heart, you know, sure, pretty much. And I study a lot of different styles and different musics and learn them. And like John, like trying to learn his instrumental songs on here was, I never really played in different beats that he had brought to the table in certain ones, and just changes, quick changes and stuff. And I mean, that to me is like, okay, step it up, get on your game.
That, I mean, it is intoxicating to listen to the way you guys are are all over the neck, basically. What kind of gear are you guys using as far as, you know, as far as guitars?
Right now I'm playing a custom made, I think it's 2010, Andrew White guitar, and it has Indian rosewood back and sides and a red spruce top.
Wow.
And it's a short scale neck.
short scale and like 24 inches or
yeah, not your normal dreadnought length. What John would know what I'm talking about. What is
yeah, it? I don't know the number, but it's technically like a 12 fret, like parlor style.
Yeah, that's what it
is. So yeah. It's a really cool sounding instrument, man. Sure. It's like, I'm glad you got that thing back out for sure.
Me too. It has its challenges as far as the neck length and all that.
Yeah.
The tone of it, I think, because it's that 12 fret, it's just nice and tight and it really pops. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still using a Preston Thompson from Oregon, custom, basically copy of a D28. I think it's a D East Indian Adirondack top, and it's phenomenal.
Sure.
I've had it since 2019.
Wow,
that thing sounds like a freight train coming in, especially the way John plays it.
And it definitely separates the tonal qualities of each guitar. Him playing Larry playing a Pollard and you John playing a dreadnought.
Yeah.
What about you guys are playing, you know, bigger places? Do you have to mic it, or do you mic your guitars, or are you using a pickup, or how does that work?
Well, I used to do a lot of miking in the Tony Rice days, because he wouldn't plug it in at all, you know. But as far as if you're playing for a bigger crowd, I mean, there's always the eternal quest for good acoustic tone, and I plug in just to be heard at this point and do everything I can to try to achieve as good a tone as I can.
Sure.
with that method, you know, and use some effects here and there too, you know, and just to spice up life as it goes, you know.
Yeah. So what?
Yeah. The.
I'm sorry. What is the pickup system that you're using?
I use a K&K, okay. the K&K Mini, and yeah. I run it through preamps and all kinds of things, equalizers and everything to try to get something going, you know.
Yeah.
And John,
go ahead, John.
I use the same rig.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I was just going to say the plugged in technology has really come a long way, even since I started doing it. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, 10 years ago, I'm using a Fishman right now that has like an impulse response settings.
Wow.
So it really is starting to feel a lot more like it used to playing through a good mic.
Yeah.
But it's an eternal challenge for sure.
Yeah. I use the K&K as well. I'm not playing bluegrass, but I use the K&K as well, and I think it's not a true acoustic sound, but it's about the closest thing out there.
I've tried messing with the sound hole as well, in the two part one with the bridge sensor and the sound hole one. Yeah. But it gets a lot further away when you use the like humbucker style from the tone I'm looking for, you know. In a rock situation, yeah, I could get away with it. But
I've often I've had more people after shows come up and ask me what pickup I'm using when I'm just like sitting in on the go, plugging straight into a passive DI.
Sure, sure.
Like, no one ever asked me when I'm running through my gear, but when I do that and sit in, and so it's like with the K&K pickup, you know, at least if you don't have any preamp, then you'll still be pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, it's you're way too young, John, to know. But there was a time when all we had was like the Barkus Berry is like this little thing that you use, hot dot. Yeah, you use wax to stick it to your guitar, and it was it was gross. And it didn't sound, of course, it fed back like crazy, and it didn't, didn't sound very good. And yeah, that was the old days.
That's funny you mentioned that. I had an old Barkus Berry hot dot, and I don't know where it went, and I'm glad.
Well, I saw Led Zeppelin in, I think, 1977. And Jimmy Page, for their acoustic set, was using the Barkus Berry into a stadium, you know, to 70,000 people. And,
wow.
And it didn't sound good. Let's just put it that way. But, it worked for him. At the moment, it worked for him. and so you both mentioned effects. What kind of effects are you running?
I run a little bit of like a phase and a flange here. Wow. And there, reverbs. I might even use it like the Soul Food drive on something.
Yeah, right on.
A pitchfork I've got on mine, which is like three voices. I use a Mel 9, like an organ sound here and there, you know, just to break up the rhythm and just create sustain here and there, you know.
Sure.
Just some toys, an envelope filter I use.
Wow.
On certain things, you know. So, yeah, it's hard to tell what you'll get, you know.
How did you put your pedal board together yourself?
I've had help along the way, and it's all. Always with the pedal boards, it's always an ongoing process for me, you know. Like, so I'm still at it, you know. But John's got some really great effects, man. I've always admired his sound, you know.
Yeah. So what is it, John? What do you got?
A lot of that same stuff. I don't have a ton of effects, but the ones I do have, I use quite a bit in, you know, different configurations. So one thing I've used a lot recently is just the Holy Grail reverb. Yeah. set to the flurb setting, you know, at about like 12 o'clock. And it's like really subtle, but it just gives it just enough of a spacey, trippy vibe that's not like really in your face. I got a timeline delay, which is absolutely insane. I totally underutilize it. And then a little drive. But really it's getting that, like, just getting that good acoustic guitar tone as close as you can, like, sure. Especially in ear monitors and stuff. It's like really just trying to keep that as dialed as possible. And then with the trio, John Stickley trio, I have A-B switch, so I have two DIs, and so one DI is like my guitar sound, and my other DI has a Electro Harmonics Bass 9 effect on it, so it is just a bass guitar. So when I switch that pedal, I'm playing bass guitar through a bass DI, and it's like, wow, in the subs and everything. So
it sounds great.
That's like the main thing I use in the trio.
Yeah, and so when you guys are playing together, is it a full band, or is it just the two of you?
It's just the two of us sitting there, and I like that. It's sort of it brings back like the old Doc and Merle Watson and Tony and Norman Blake and stuff. Just like getting down to the nitty gritty, you know. Like John was quoted as like saying something like, you know, two guitars, two voices, two guys putting it together right in front of you, you know, and. I love it personally. I just love it.
Yeah, you guys are playing some pretty athletic guitar. And so do you guys have to, is there a lot of practice that's involved?
I mean, I think when John and I get together, we like to go through our tunes and make sure we get them down, you know. And as I feel like I'm pretty practiced up from just being on the road all the time. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I stay pretty limber.
Yeah. And are you guys doing a lot of jamming with other people as well? Casually?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the reason I got into this. You know, going to my first festivals and jamming around the campsite and picking around the campfire all night long, and the camaraderie you get with other musicians. And so, yeah, any place we are around other pickers, we jam with them.
Okay. Yeah. For sure, and that, like, festivals and things, you know, when you get to run into all your friends, and it's like, and they're also and in just incredible, they're incredible musicians out there that we know, right, John?
Oh, yeah.
And, and when we get together with them, it's like a recharge, you know?
And when you guys travel, are you traveling in a van or just a regular car? How much gear are you taking with you when you go out? I mean, you have your guitars and your pedal boards. Are you taking, like, a full PA or anything like that? I'm not sure the venues you guys would play.
No, I don't think we'll be carrying a PA. We'll be traveling around in a van.
Okay. Yeah, we roll pretty light. We both have our own band and our own van. So, okay. Larry, we taking your car or mine? I'm good.
It don't matter to me.
yours is a little newer, so,
yeah. Doesn't matter to me. I'm all good. But yeah, just usually, I mean, John
rolling pretty light.
He'll have his pedal board and I'll have mine, you know, and just and your show clothes.
Yep.
There we go.
Are you guys and do you stay in motels and stuff? Or you mentioned campsites, so are you guys staying in campsites or are you staying in actual hotels?
We'll probably hotel a lot of it, you know, and maybe a home stay with some friends.
Oh,
here
very
there.
Good. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Very good. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And outside of all the music stuff that you guys are doing, what do you do for fun? I mean, I know you, John, you have two new kids, so you're not doing much other than kids. But how about you, Larry? What do you do outside of music? Are you working on watches, maybe?
You know, I wish I could. I know old Vassar Clements used to do that. He'd go around and get at all the pawn shops and stuff and find watches and fix them and sell them again. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. But myself, I'm a gardener. You know, I do a lot of gardening. I've grow tomatoes and peppers and just about everything, to tell you the truth, and spend a lot of time doing that when I'm off the road. And once you're off the road, you got to get back to your business and tend to that too, and all that, and mow your grass and all that stuff. But pretty much I'm a gardener, fisherman. I like to fish a lot, but I don't get to as much as I want to, but and we'll get there.
and I made the joke of you have your young kids, but do you do anything outside of music, John?
Not really. No, it's kind of at this point, family is a big commitment. And then you know, music has kind of always been my recreation and business, fortunately. So, you know, if I usually just play my guitar for fun if I get a chance, and hang out with my kids and go on walks and ride bikes and all that stuff. So, and then getting to switch completely into music mode when we hit the road and go out, you know, because I do have to leave, I really give it 100% when I'm home.
Oh yeah, of course.
And then I go full music mode when I'm gone, and it's great.
And John, your wife plays bass in your trio still?
That's Larry.
Oh,
that's me. She does some shows now when we do play with our friend Keller Williams, because it's called Keller and the Keels. So she's the bass player for that. But now she's sort of taken more of an office role.
Okay.
And because, like I say, being on the road, it's hard to deal with everything. And she started getting back more into the office stuff. And I sort of redid my whole trio. And I have a new bass player and a new mandolin player. So, and we're having a whole lot of fun with it. So it's good, real fresh, you know.
Yeah. And are you guys going to come out to the West Coast at all? I see you have a date in Las Vegas, but apart, like, I'm talking about San Francisco and these parts out here.
I would really like to make that happen. I've heard talk about, like, some Oregon and things like that in the spring. So keep an ear out, and we'll definitely let you know for sure.
Right on. Are you guys booking yourselves, or do you have an agent that takes care of all that?
John?
I think Larry's agent is covering the duo.
Okay.
So. Yeah. That's yeah, they're coming out, and you have another agent, and yeah, they it's good to have them, man. It's a hard working, thankless job, you know? Sure.
So if people want to find you guys, this is the hard part. I know, John, you have a website, and it's johnstickley.com, correct?
John Stickley with an
Stickley
L.
With
yep,
an L.
Yep. So just johnstickley.com, and that's everything. John Stickley Trio, and then the Keel Stickley dates will also be on there as well.
Okay. Yeah. And Larry, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's LarryKeel.com, and all the socials there too. And yeah, all our dates should be on there, like bright and bold.
Okay. And on socials, is there a special like social page for the two of you, or is it just your separate socials?
John, do you know if Aaron's it's done that?
It's all separate. It's all separate.
Okay. All right.
So each of our separate socials will have the Keel Stickley stuff up there. So.
Very good. And your name is John, J-O-N, not no H.
Yep. J-O-N, no H.
Okay.
And
very good.
Stickley like the furniture.
Yes, exactly. And any relation?
I think really, really, really far back somewhere.
Okay.
Not close enough.
And do you own any?
No, I don't. I would love to someday.
Pretty expensive.
Yeah, maybe I'll graduate to that level.
Okay, very good. Well, it's been wonderful talking to both of you. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, man, we appreciate you so much and all you do putting it out there.
Yes, thank you, James.
Of course, my pleasure. And I really do hope you guys make it out to the West Coast, because I love to meet both of you in person.
We'd love to.
Yeah.
We'd love to.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Cheers.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you, Larry.
See ya. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar, Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.